Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Benjamin.
And so I guess it's the first podcast of 17. We're only a month late, so it's a good start. We're also not at LVO today, so we decided to record
instead. We're all a little sad that we're sitting here in a room, not at a hotel, and not playing in a tournament.
And not in Vegas, not drinking alcohol. But...
And we didn't want to tell the audience this, but we've all sworn off War Machine for life.
Yep.
Done.
No, unfortunately, it was all real life issues. We sadly have to be adults sometimes, and this is one of the sacrifices. Though we all bought tickets, so
we
donated money.
$100.
But unfortunately. But hopefully, this will be the only hitch up on our tournament circuit of joy.
Yeah, definitely. My life is kind of stabilized, so hopefully, getting back into War Machine.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, mine too. Hopefully, crossing my fingers.
But, so we thought we'd kick off the year, kind of just give a recap of what we're planning to play for 17, what we think the meta looks like, and why we picked the lists. So I'll kick it off. For 17, I'm moving to Circle. I'm going to jump off and be a rogue element in Circle and play Wyrmwood and Una 2.
Oh my god, what a surprise.
Daring rebel.
Yeah, really breaking the mold. I like to be different than nobody. So...
Well, it is Circle Christmas all the time right now.
And honestly, Wyrmwood to me is a pretty sweet mashup of Haley 2 and Denny 2, which is pretty fun to play. Just the spell list of Hellmouth, Stranglehold, Curse of Shadows, that's super solid. And the random forest placement and teleporting, at control-wise, I don't think it's about as solid as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So that solves a lot of problems, especially for Una 2. Like Una 2, the basic. I'm running Una 2 with 4 Scarsfells, Razor Wing, a Rotterhorn, a Wilder, Tharn Blood Trackers, Tharn Wolf Riders, Sentry Stones, and Shifting Stones.
Gorax?
And Gorax, who I always forget to put on the table because he's not a bird. So that's my basic list. I really like the Tharn with the list because they provide a lot of punch. And something that you have to deal with so people can't focus on the Griffins. I was trying a few other builds with Una without those models, just more Griffins or a pureblood. And I found, especially after feat, she just ground to a halt. Like, or if someone could kill Griffins, my game was just done full stop. Like, it was terrible. But she answers a lot of questions, especially anything melee-centric. Anyone that's trying to fight in melee, Una provides a pretty serious problem too. And I really like the counter with Wyrmwood because he stops a lot of the shooting answers, especially in Signar, because Signar can't ignore forests. So it's a pretty close game. And then my Wyrmwood list, just for what I'm playing, is Wyrmwood, Megalith, Getarix, Pureblood, Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, double Sentry Stones, double Shifting Stones, Mint Boom Grinders, Lanissa, and... That's about it. So basically 4 heavies that I can deliver pretty consistently. That was my Wyrmwood list. I really like the 4 heavy plan. Before, I was playing it with some infantry and I just felt like they weren't necessary. And because I can deliver at least 3 heavies across the board with the feat, it's really nice to start the peace trade.
Yeah. What do you think of the feat change going down to command?
It hasn't really affected my plan that much. Mm-hmm. It's rare that I was... putting Wyrmwood so far up to really abuse the 14 inches. Most of the time, I'm feeding just to cover 2 beasts and score a scenario point.
Yeah.
So it lets people get into my business a little bit more when they play against the feet, but it still serves its purpose to stop shooting into my heavies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I will say, like, against Wyrmwood, the change I've noticed now is that it's still covering the central area of the board for the most part, which is where most of the action is. It's denying line of sight to your stuff. But the big change, you know, from control to command is that it's not catching your opponent's back line and, like, completely screwing over their ability to do anything.
Yeah, what it kind of changed is I can't get super greedy and do, like, a double Hellmouth, like, I'm feeding and taking... some solos that you love. It's like I'm feeding, getting that one Hellmouth I needed, and putting a forest like in front of your heavy so they can't do anything.
I feel so sad for you.
Yeah, it's been really rough times. I cry tragic. A little bit every time I go to sleep.
Right now I'm playing Legion, primarily because everybody else started playing Signar.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm not playing Signar, too.
It's not like I have anything against my Signar. I just was literally showing up for game night, and all of us has Signar. And I was like...
When everyone's immune to electricity, electricity's not as exciting.
That's true. I just got tired of, you know, mirror matching all the time. I was like, eh, not doing this. And so I went back to doing Legion stuff, and it's been fine. I'm still not super excited for Legion. Like, it's fun, but it's not like making me go, oh, this is the best thing I've ever done. I'm still trying to figure out my second caster, because I'm pretty happy with my Lilith 3 list, which is in all ways the same as everyone else's Lilith 3 list.
She's super solid. I think she's like really slept on right now, but Lilith 3 is really good.
Right. She's really good. Yeah. I mean, my only complaint with Lilith 3 is more that she's the only caster I can take that does what she's doing in that role, and I have to take her under certain matchups, and no one else in Legion is answering those matchups. So I feel constrained because I have to take her in my pair, and that sort of makes me go, eh, not because there's anything wrong with her.
It's funny. That's kind of how I feel about Una, but now I have Kaya 3 coming out where I can do the same thing twice.
So I'm still trying to figure out what my second list look like. I've been testing a Twins list that uses the new theme force, and I'm actually pretty happy with it.
Yeah, this, like, it's too good.
It's, well, it doesn't, like, it doesn't look amazing at first, but it's been playing really well, and I just need to get a better grasp on the sort of flipping of when the Twins need to be attrition versus murder, because I either get too aggressive and then don't stay aggressive enough, or, like, I start out attrition-y and then go, like, oh, but I could kill the world and end up putting myself in a place where I shouldn't be. But I think that that list probably has the best potential for me to use as my second pair. And it deals with a lot of stuff that Lilith 3 doesn't necessarily want to see.
What does Lilith 3 not want to see?
Dude spam.
Dude spam?
Yeah. My list build with her doesn't want to see dude spam.
That's funny. Like, maybe it's just our area, but I feel like one of the top checklists is, do I have an answer to Drudge Spam?
Yeah, because it's in our metagame, and it's not going away. Well, the second it goes away, like, we have at least two people who play Mercs all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the second you let off defending against that, even a little bit, they just swarm you at a tournament.
Yeah. Well, that's why I feel that the Twins are better, because the Twins deal with Dude Spam just fine, but also they personally threaten Thexus in a way that he can't handle. Because if they get anywhere near him, it's over. Like, he's just dead. And that, it's nice to have that in the tank, because it makes it a lot easier to deal with stuff when you know you can just kill their caster if you get within 17 inches.
Yeah, having that big back off assassination threat is nice. I mean, like, against experienced opponents, it rarely comes off, but it frequently, like, lets you set the game at a favorable position, because their caster has to be either back or out of the game, and that's just a nice starting point if you can have it.
Right.
I'm not sure Thexus can really do what he wants to with his feet when he has to stay 18 inches or whatever away from Saren. It's a little bit of an issue for him.
No, it is, and that's actually the main thing, is because I have enough standoff with that, like, I'm not murdering the Drudges hyper-efficiently, but I am killing a lot of them. And Ryas herself can account for a surprising number of Drudges per activation.
And with all the Eyeless Sight, like, the Cephalics are in danger.
Right. And when Ryas can also just go kill the key models, because once you kill the Cephalics guys, the Drudges drop completely in effectiveness. And Ryas can just do it. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, were you trying not to be there? I'm going to walk here and murder you now. Not to mention that, you know, there's plenty of shooting that I have that can actively pick out those things, which my other builds weren't as effective at. But we'll see. I haven't actually played Drudge Spam yet.
Yeah.
Because every time the Merc player picks his other list for some strange reason.
Yeah, that's like like when I've been hitting Drudge Spam with Kador, you know, Sorsha is obviously a catastrophe for it, but more often than not, I just have to drop Butcher, which is fine. So what's in your Twins list?
Rather than trying to remember off the top of my head,
to the war room.
Look at the war room and to give the war you room. An accurate representation of what my current Twins build looks like.
So what are your options, Ben? Signar, minions?
Signar, Mercs, Kador, Legion, Well, I'm so Minions are sort of an asterisk for me because I was a Gator player in Mark II.
So it's like half of Minions.
And so
it's the bad half now.
Right, it's the bad half now. And so I'm not so the casters I'm all on board with. I think the Gator casters are still totally rad. It's just that all the infantry models I want I don't own, and I hate painting infantry and I hate building the plastic pigs. And so basically I hit a hard stop on that and I haven't been drawn back into it. And so that's kind of where I kind of look at my Merc stuff. And my Minion stuff. And I went, meh. And that's kind of where I've left it. Merc stuff I haven't been doing because we have a bunch of players playing Merc stuff.
I know. We have a surprising number of Merc players right now, which is weird how that's kind of the meta develops. Like, you kind of just go and find your own way of things that aren't being played. I'm not sure if there's competitive advantage to that, playing something that other people aren't playing.
I don't think there is.
I think it's just, you know. You don't want to see your own list. The only thing I would say is, like, the mirror match is annoying in that sometimes your stuff isn't effective against the mirror, but mostly your opponent knows exactly what you're doing. There's no surprise or advantage for a clever play most of the time.
Well, I think that the biggest problem I have in a lot of the mirror matches is that, you know, because we all talk, we end up with very similar list builds because there's a certain efficiency you hit after a certain point each of the casters. And the problem is that I know, like, playing a game where I'm playing the same tools as my opponent is much less mentally interesting to me because there's no, like, counterplay options. You're like, oh, I hope I roll better when these things hit.
Right. I actually kind of feel the opposite. Like, I find Signar, it's not so much because the incentive to play Storm Lances is so high and, like, both lists suffer a massive value drop-off when that happens. Like, for the most part, I actually find mirror matches really rewarding, even if you guys are bringing, like, similar tools, because that's, like, you know, the innovative plays and playing differently most pay off there in terms of producing relative advantage.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the mirror match. I think Kador is diverse enough where you could have a mirror match of Kador v. Kador.
Kador suffers from the problem that Sorsha 1 annihilates most Kador.
Right.
Like, it's patently unfair most
maybe
of the time.
Maybe that's why you like the mirror.
That is nice.
I'm looking at Circle, like, this happened to me at War Machine Weekend, where Unitsu had just came out. I played a scramble. It was like a King of the Hill, so there was four scrambles that fed each other. Mm-hmm. The winner of each scramble was Kane 2, Circle, Circle, Circle. Wyrmwood Unitsu, Wyrmwood Unitsu, and I didn't have enough Griffin, so I was Wyrmwood Kaya 2. And the Circle mirror was miserable. Like,
mm-hmm.
Wormwood's almost unplayable into Una, so then it turns into Una 2. What kind of game is that? Like, I feed and run at you, and now we begin the who can kill griffins faster game.
Yes, I quite enjoyed I was in a similar King of the Hill with everyone playing Una, and I was playing Kane 2, and it was really hilarious to me.
Seems not bad.
Anyways, so going back to my faction choices, and then I'll get onto the list here. Like, I mean, I haven't played Kotor in a while. Just haven't really had the itch for it. I mean, I have everything for it. I just haven't gotten back into it. Like I said, I was playing a lot of Signar. I was enjoying it, but now everyone's playing Signar, so I decided to move away from that. We have a bunch of people playing Mercs, so I haven't really been dipping into Mercs. Also, some of the Merc builds I want to do require building a lot more models than I have the patience to get through right now. So that's part of the other reason I haven't done a lot of Mercs. Like I said, with Minions, the pig thing is just too much of a barrier as well at the moment. Legion, I kind of defaulted to just because no one else is playing Legion. And it's not like, you know, it's a fine faction to play.
I think they're completely serviceable with some interesting things going on.
Right. And I kind of liked the, you know, Lilith 3 was just sort of, you know, oh, I've played her before, but now I have to take her every time. And it's been fine.
Who do you think could take Lilith 3's role? Like, who could do something similar?
I don't know, because the problem right now is that the reason I have to take Lilith 3 is because she's effectively the only drop into a couple of the really shooting heavy meta lists. And her defensive profile and her speed, plus her personal murder threat to those other casters, becomes my only sort of response. Like, her presence itself keeps people at bay, and that lets me win the game on scenario, basically, and that's how I'm playing those games. And sometimes I get, like, the happy time assassination randomly, But none of the other casters bring that, right? Like, none of the other casters go, oh, like, you know, I'm taking Veil 2, because that used to be my, that's what I played instead of.
Sure.
And everybody played Veil 2, but now I drop Veil 2 on the table, and you're like, oh, this is just an uphill struggle. Like, oh, look, my beasts are disappearing. Oh, like, she still has a great tool set, but it's not enough to overcome, you know, the turn after turn whammy of getting huntered and huntered and huntered. And I liked, what's her name, the Lash Girl. But she's strong into a lot of matchups, but she's not necessarily going to do, because the plus three defense on her feet's good, but not good enough, basically. But I mean, I really like the damage she brings to Legion, because those Scythians under her feet turn are super crazy scary. So she was normally my second matchup to Lilith 3. I mean, I don't know. The only way to answer that would be to have some sort of Legion caster that had a similar immunity to murder with threat. But that would, I mean, that's what Lilith 2 used to be.
I guess maybe you do it backwards and you play something like Thags 1, where he's pretty resistant to shooting and more like an inevitable, like I can just armor and tank my way through it and get there. But that, I don't know. It never seemed as exciting. That's definitely why I don't play trolls right now.
Right. Well, the problem...
I hate taking the punch. That's no fun.
Right. The problem with the Thag 1 build is that I used to love Thag 1. I mean, the Thag 1 double war spears and... what's the big grivelly mouth thing?
The battle engine?
Or the Blightbringer.
No, the Gargantuan. Blightbringer, yeah. Sorry. I love that build. I mean, Joe played that a lot. I played it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Like, it was kind of a list I enjoyed because it was very straightforward, but it was like beefy and hard hitting. But the nerf to the war spears is what ruined that whole combination, because losing three health and stats, like, they just don't get it done because they didn't really drop relatively in price.
And yeah, five boxes is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. Right. War spears offensively are still really good, but like, man, that drop in survivability hurts.
It hurts a lot. And so, yeah, that kind of what turned off doing the Thags builds was that it just doesn't click anymore. But also, the War Spears were better into a meta that's kind of not here anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what I'm looking at with the Twins is that this kind of came out of wanting to try the new Ravens of War tier. I'm not super impressed with the idea of the tier, but
I hate it. I don't like my AD being removed. That wasn't
right.
Fun.
So the only benefit of the tier is that it removes AD. And so that alone is interesting. My Twins list didn't require...
Benefit one, Ryan is sad.
Right. I mean, it does help a lot against Circle. It actually helps a lot against, you know, there's just a lot of lists that it just shuts down their planned alpha. And you're like, oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. You're back on your starting line. And you get basically enough discount that you get essentially the unit for, or because the solo is 4 points, which you get for free. So you get a 4 point discount essentially for taking the unit I was going to take anyways. Mm-hmm. And it only required one beast change from what I was running anyways, which wasn't particularly problematic because I just subbed Zuriel in for the Scythian. And honestly, with the Twins, Zuriel gets both of the benefits. So you're like, oh, darn, I got a really high value. Because after they improved him a little bit.
He gets stealth and he gets...
Arcanode.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. So basically, my list consists of the Twins, Angelius, Seraph, Zuriel, Nightlurker Naga, a Blighted Nyss Sorcerer and Hellion, Anissa Rissel, the Forsaken, Nyss Raptors, and then I'm currently running Blight Blades versus using the Gargoyles, the Raiders. And the reason is that I had Raiders in here. They're, even with the ambush rule, they're still super mediocre.
The Raiders, are they the ones with the spray?
No, that's the Banshees.
Okay.
The Raiders are the ones that have a single melee attack and gang. Right. With ambush, they become relevant, but the Blight Blades don't have gang, but they have combo melee and two attacks each. And the Blight Blades have better defensive profile because they have stealth. They have
15-11.
Yeah, 15-11. And so,
as opposed to 12-13.
Right, because the 13 makes no difference to things that are AOEing or killing them effectively that I've seen, especially since mostly I'm dealing with Spriggan sprays for some reason. I don't know where those are coming from. So the 15's a way better tool than, you know, two extra armor that doesn't matter.
Sure.
And the Blight Blades, if it might come up that, you know, their grievous wounds on crit could actually come up and matter at some point.
I do like the ambush with the Twins just in general. Anything you can do to kind of corral the army into the center is going to help.
And so I feel like that list actually has some very strong scenario play threat. The fact that I control the pacing because I can guarantee you don't get AD is interesting. And it also gives me a very different matchup profile than Lilith 3. So, you know, I'm looking at a totally different game plan, but that's fine because you kind of need lists that do different things. My only real concern is that neither list really breaks a lot of armor. So before I was running what's her, Fiona the Lash, but the caster version of her. Mm-hmm. I always forget her designation.
Fiona the Whip of Everblight.
Yeah, that's not actually her title, though it should be. And she breaks armor fine. And I was using her to break armor. And with the Hellmouths and her spells and the unit of raptors, she did fine for me. But she has some other bad matchup profile issues. And so the twins are interesting. Because, I mean, they can still theoretically assassinate anything because they have a really strong game plan for that. But sometimes I don't want to rely on knowing my dice will fail me when I go in for that assassination. But that's where I am at right now. I mean, I'm going to play around with Legion some more. And if people get tired of playing Signar all the time, I'll probably switch back to playing Signar.
Yeah.
As we all will. There's always one waiting.
Yeah. Speaking of getting tired of playing Signar, I recently got off a Signar kick. So I was mostly running Striker 2. And I was playing, like, actually a pretty wide variety of other stuff for a while there, but, like, man, did the Signar stable turn out to be really disappointing. Like, Stormlances are clearly the best option in the faction, and nothing else lives up to it. Some of the issues I encountered were I was playing a Haley 2 list that wound up being very similar to my Striker 2 list, and I felt that the Striker one, for the most part, did the job of, like, dealing with armor and tougher armies and securely dominating a flag slightly better. And I didn't really have a very clear sense of what Haley was supposed to be doing. I tried some other partner lists for Striker, and it just didn't work out as well. But the Striker 2 list I was running was Striker, Thorn, Stormclad, Double Lances, Catherine Lattermore, Ragman, Gibbs, Junior with a Firefly, and Archduke Runewood.
And Squire, right?
No Squire.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the list works really, really well. The fast unit with guns that hits really, really hard is great. The Ragman Gibbs Firefly combo is
so good.
It's mm-hmm. It's astonishingly good. Like the amount of damage swing it manufactures for you is huge.
Yeah. And allowing, you know, Striker 2 his double overloads is always nice to have in your back pocket.
Just like contextualizing this, I started playing Signar after War Machine Weekend, you know, where I lost to Karchev with a bunch of Mad Dogs and stuff like that. I played this Striker list into Karchev running large Jack battle groups several times and was pretty consistently able to kill all of them. Like the damage is absolutely there. The requisite speed is there. The reach and ability to deny counter charges is there. But between like one of the issues with the list I found is it delivers consistently exactly the same experience over and over and over again. You know, you kind of play coy until you can feat charge and get your damage buff module of the Firefly with Dark Shroud and positive charge going. And then you charge in, and then you take your feet moves, and you kill a bunch of stuff, and that's kind of it.
It's almost like you're the computer boss.
Yeah.
Like, you're not playing the game. It's just like, can you beat Striker 2?
Yeah, exactly. And the army delivered the same experience, which is, like, kind of fun, I guess. I enjoyed it, but, like, there was, like, virtually no variation.
It's actually why I don't like playing Una 2 either. Like, Una 2 is powerful, for sure, and she wins a lot of games, but strategy wise it's not like I'm not racking my brain thinking of what I'm gonna do with the griffins or the blood trackers. Like, they shoot the things that I can shoot at, or I move to a place where I can do that next turn. There's only like two options, and the Striker seems like kind of similar.
Yeah, and the Striker list is strong into like almost everything.
Yeah.
So like there's very little incentive in the faction to go and seek out other options, because, you know, for the most part it's largely other casters attempting to run Storm Lances and then a slightly larger battle group, you know, with different tricks. But like,
yeah, I mean,
the relative gulf in power between the options in Signar's stable is just like, I got sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, especially just visiting a faction, maybe that's, I mean, we talked about it briefly, but there's a deep well. Like, I've been trying to push Nemo 3 on you, and I know we've been difference of opinions, but that's the type of thing that you get when you're deeper in a faction. I still think Sloane is, she's still a legitimate caster that's doing something very different than Lance's, but
I agree. And that's kind of where I wound up, is like, okay, if I want to stay in Signar, it's pick up a Sloane list.
Right.
And just my desire to do that totally dropped off because the novelty on Striker was kind of gone. And, yeah. You know, I get that the Sloane thing is powerful, but I just don't want to do it.
Oh, for sure. And that's why I stopped playing Striker 2 for a while as well. Like, I picked him up, but then I realized almost every game was the same game plan and the same strategy, where I think that's why I like prefer playing control, just because it's so much more fun. And a good control turn, it's like your opponent gets to do nothing and they're super sad because you've just totally countered like everything they can do. But Striker was always like, I punch you in the face, you punch me in the face, I punch you in the face, oh no, I'm out of stuff, I lose. Or they're out of stuff, I win.
Yeah.
I don't like playing that game. I'd rather the opponent just doesn't get to do anything.
Well, I mean, like, that's kind of the experience my Butcher 3 list delivered as well, was like, go back punching in the face back and forth, and like Striker, Butcher is a tremendous backstop. So, you know, you close out the trade with a high value run by your caster, and then that's kind of it. And like, I got that satisfaction out of playing Kador, but I also got the control satisfaction out of playing Sorsha, and like, playing the same list for months, I didn't get bored of these, but that's totally what happened in Signar. You know, even running the same casters, like, there's so many variations and permutations on those two casters' plans that I still really enjoy it. And like, I literally win 9 out of 10 games with Kador. So like, the, you know, there's also switching to Signar and not having as much success. Like, it's not as rewarding.
When you feel like you're working harder to do the same thing you can get out of a different list pair, it does make it pretty hard to stick with that and make that work.
Right.
That's where I was with Trolls for a long time. I was like, I moved to Trolls and I'm trying so hard just to get like above 500, where I could just play Kane 2.
Yeah.
And win more often than not by accident. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Also, Kador has like the strength of the faction is much more flat. Like, there's less clearly dominant stuff. So there's more range for variation and experimentation and a diversity of list builds rather than having everyone basically
doing. We qualify the statement post Karchev nerf.
Right. Post Karchev nerf. You don't have everyone doing variations on the same theme with one or two outlier casters that have powerful lists unique to them. Like, a lot of casters have a range of different games. I'm also looking at, like, I'm mostly playing Sorsha 1 and Butcher 3, but I'm also gearing up to do some experimentation with, like, Harkovich and Malakov. You know, Harkovich, especially in the new theme force, looks interesting, though no Behemoth is kind of a bummer. Yeah, so back to Kador. The Scorn errata, while interesting, I don't feel is ultimately enough to, like...
I know, I feel like they went from 12th to, like, 9th.
Yeah.
Or 8th.
You know, the issue is you're on some level, you're still trying to compete with the same lists at the top that are like really buttoned up and just coming super hard at you. Scorn got better, but like, they're not in that same league. And, you know, the league of those ultra powerful lists is enough that like variations in play skill and individual performance and all those sorts of things can like, you know, you can play games against them and win games against them, but like, it doesn't feel as consistent and as like giving complete coverage, and I'm just still not interested enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot better. Scorn has a lot more options. They have probably more thing. They don't, they have less
design space, but more options. That's good.
Well, no, they have less instances of strict superiority in the faction, because that was kind of the problem of Scorn in Mark II. Like, Nihilators were better than almost all the other single wound infantry.
They did do a good job of kind of making things have a specific role, where before they were doing the same thing.
But what
like
about Xerxes
Kaia 3 and Bradagus,
all birds?
Where Bradagus is just the bad version of Kaia 3.
Now, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Still frustrated they released her as she had been spoiled.
I mean, I think we can talk about that in another episode or in a later conversation, but I think there is some instance of a couple of factions have things that are so good that everything else has to be bad. Like, Circle's a major victim of that. I think Signar is still kind of a victim of that.
Right.
Legion is a pretty obvious victim of that. Like, any of the factions with really narrow tops of power and then, like, a wide swath of crap just suffer from some things being too good.
Yeah, it's not even that it's crap. It's just when something's mathematically better than your other option, why are you going to take the bad option?
Right, exactly. Yeah, like, I feel like all the Legion casters, for the most part, are very serviceable. Like, I don't look at a single Legion caster and think to myself, oh, God, why did they design this? Like, they all definitely have a purpose. It's just a lot of their purposes isn't good enough to justify their position in a two-list format.
Right. Well, and a lot of their unit and Warbeast options, like, suffer from some superiority. I think the problem in Legion is just that Lilith 3 is probably too good. Like, she's so good, she outshines most of the other casters.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just more where the meta went to. I mean, she answers problems that none of the other casters in Legion can answer at the moment. But it's more survivability plus threat with her, because I think that a lot of the other Legion casters used to be survivable because they could hide behind things, but that has been removed by the way threats are working now.
I mean, yeah, like, all this is, you know, probably a conversation for another time, but not... Yeah,
it's more just a deeper conversation of what meta is, and, like,
yeah,
with a, you know, a static number of options that are, like, stats on paper, is there optimal, like, items, which I'm definitely of the opinion there is. Obviously, mm-hmm. there is. That's why you see things in one faction and not the others. It's not because people are just bored or stupid or don't understand math. It's because they do understand math, and that gives you the best chance to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Scorn has what it takes. And I've got two very buttoned up lists in Kador that I'm happy playing over and over and over again. And there's room for experimentation.
And they're pretty much the exact ports from War Machine Weekend, right?
To deal with the change costs to Alt and Ashley and Behemoth, I had to swap Alexia 2 for Eliminators in my Sorcia 1 list. I've already had games where I wished I had Alexia, but, like, the Eliminators are totally great. You know, they're a superlative unit. I'm glad I actually tried them out, because they're really impressive. I think the list would be stronger with Alexia, but, like, it's still great as is.
Do you want to run through your list really quick, or?
Sure. They're largely unchanged from last time, but the Butcher list is Butcher 3, Kodiak, Ruin, Double Gun Carriage, Max Ulans, Iron Fang Kovnik, and Ulan Kovnik Markov. Whole list. It's very, very fast, very, very hard-hitting. And it tends to attack in layers. Like, the Warjack and Butcher component is kind of the slowest part of the army.
Mm-hmm. You have to deal with gun carriages, and then you have to deal with Ulant, and then you have to deal with Butcher, and then if there's anything left, then,
well, then you have to deal with Warjacks. And right. The result of all of this is everything condenses to the middle to answer these big threats that just went in, and it eventually produces, you know, a stage where Butcher just walks in and kills everything left that could kill him.
Do you think your Butcher list handles, like, Jack Spam now that the point reductions have changed? Like, could he handle Karchev with 9 Jacks instead of 12?
Potentially. I don't know. I haven't tried it.
Yeah. Just curious.
Well, also, the removal of the to-hit bonus is pretty big as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe. Do I think I'm going to see it? Probably not.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other Jack Spam lists are going to kind of... I think Marauder Spam with, like, Butcher 1 theme is definitely something that you could see. It's
a similar
type of list.
I mean, for the most part in Kador, like, Sorcia stomps it. You know, like, it's most Kador is really bad into Sorcia 1. It's a terrible nightmare.
Except for Karchev.
I also really dislike Butcher 1 as a caster. He is missing a lot of tools which I think are absolutely essential to playing the game, and kind of preys on weaker list archetypes, which I don't think is long run sustainable. Preying on, you know, infantry heavy armies, or preying on gun lines or whatever. And it's like, well, that's not really a viable long term thing. You know, you pick up wins in the short term, which is great, but, like, you know, playing against buttoned up high control, high movement attack list, it's terrible. And then the Sorcia 1 list is Sorcia, Reinhold, Behemoth, Marauder, Gun Carriage, Alton Ashley, Eris 1, Widowmaker Marksman, Kel Baylock, Widowmakers, Ayana and Holt with Valachev, and Eliminators. That list is still a ton of fun. It's got a lot of permutations and ways it can play. You know, AD, lots of guns. It's a strong, strong control list with a strong, strong assassination threat. Yeah, I love it. It's great. The Eliminators are also... I was one of the reasons I resisted playing Eliminators for a long time is almost every time I had seen them, they were almost inconsequential. And I think that's because a lot of players run them poorly. You know, they're a fast unit, and I see a lot of people run them up extreme flanks, which is always a bad idea, you know, because flankers have a hard time becoming relevant to the battle again and take a long time to get there. And, you know, backing up away from them puts the models that are attempting to evade them in board relevant positions, whereas the flankers are less relevant. Like, it's self-punishing. And like, I always see Eliminators as this early delivery fast unit, and they do nothing. They die pretty cheaply and accomplish very little. I've been playing Eliminators more reserved, like behind, you know, behind my models. And then as I get engaged, going over, clearing it and getting out of the way. And they've been amazing for that.
Yeah, they're probably super annoying, like right as you feet or maybe immediately after to like charge in and contest and then engage something. And then they're kind of stuck in for that turn where the opponent really doesn't want them there, as opposed to being able to deal with them turn two where you have your whole army to figure out a way to kill Eliminators.
Well, they're also great for unjamming the gun carriage, which is amazing. Also, I've sometimes had to feet slightly earlier than I would like because people do put guys on my shooters and I don't have a great way right away to get rid of them. Eliminators solve that problem. So, yeah, really happy with them. Yeah, and that's my list.
Sweet. So,
all right.
That's about it.
That's about it.
That's all the list we have.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for Two. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforTwo.podcast@gmail.com.